And good morning. Welcome to the program. This program is Health Essentials. It is very good to be with you this Saturday morning. I think any morning that you wake up and you feel good, that's a good day. Yes. I don't go out to eat very much, but I went out to eat last night with the kids. My wife didn't feel like a million bucks for obvious reasons. But anyway, so I was a very, very brave father. You probably have not seen a father with as much bravery as and fearlessness as I to take three kids out on a Friday night. Anyway, where we chose to eat, I saw a lady that I know. Her name is Amanda. I don't know why a mother would choose to have children that have dimples in their cheeks, but evidently that was the request she made when she ordered them. But those kids are just a little bit too perfect and good-looking for their own good. But, I mean, I'm sure the father has something to do with that. But anyway, but you know what? Everybody has their cross to bear, and she has hers having gorgeous man babies. But anyway, and then I ran into a couple other ladies that I know, and I'll just say one of their names was Becky, but only Nancy or Jimmy would know who I'm referring to. But, you know, they're just smiling, radiant, happy. I tell you what, it does the heart good to go out and see everyone smiling. It's just good for the heart to be merry and have joy, isn't it? This week, well, let me preface it by saying this. You have probably heard me talk about, diet a little bit, and I realize all this could be only my opinion. You know what? Sometimes a personal testimony is really not worth just a whole lot, is it? Because you know what? There may be money involved. And all I'm suggesting is, when someone is hawking a product or hawking something that costs money, well, if they're the recipient of the money, then maybe they're just a little bit biased. So it may be completely 100% from the truth. I talked to a woman yesterday, and I could see the shock on her face when I told her, was trying to tell her about a product. I don't know if she'd ever heard that before, but she was convinced that I was just making it up. I'm certain of it. I could be wrong. Anyway, but you've heard me talk about maybe what you should eat or what you shouldn't eat if you want to have radiant health. And so this morning I want to share with you an email that I received from a lady that I know. And I'll tell you, she is adorable. Her family is sweet and adorable. But here, I'm going to read it to you. I'm not going to tell you her name. Unless I mess up and tell you her name, I won't. Okay, here it goes. Hi, Dr. Morgan. At Christmas, Daddy was all excited about Michael Greger's book, How Not to Die. I actually have a copy of it here right in front of me. He gave us all a copy. The study below is referenced in the chapter on diabetes. Second paragraph. I know the body will try to manufacture what it doesn't have, /get. This is so opposite to paleo. Yet paleo may be a young person's diet plan before their bodies break down. Would like to hear your thoughts. Blessings, Denise. And I'll read the study to you in just a little bit, but this was my response right here. To be honest, this is me. This is my words right here. And just think simple. I mean, this is just a text, so don't make me into an ultra-sophisticated person when time is of the essence. All right. To be honest, I'm just not real excited about the book. There is some really good information in it. The other propaganda is a bit much, and I do not see it as true. But if you are willing to glean, separating fact from fiction, then it has something good. And I didn't hear back from her, so I read the study, which I'm fixing to read the study to you. The study that's touted in the book is information that's good. So they talk about a paradox in the study. My response was, after I read it, the paradox is not true at all. No one would ever have diabetes if this were true. people eat carbs like crazy. You'll find out what I mean just a little bit. And I wrote, India has 62.8% of all the cases of diabetes in the entire world. Guess what they're eating? Rice and potatoes. No high protein. And then I wrote back, do you actually know anyone who is eating high carbs and on a low-fat diet and doing well? And I haven't heard back yet, but that's just a matter of time, I'm certain. So let's go to that. Where's the study right here? Comes from a website called longicity.org. Okay. And I'm going to read it to you. And this is all for your consideration. But, you know, you have to decide what is true and what's not true. And one of the ways that I know what true is, so let me just give you an example. A lady this week, I think it was Tuesday afternoon, she has type 1 diabetes. I'm not expecting you to know all that that means, but if you have type 1 diabetes, then you'll understand what I'm saying quite well. Well, she's on an insulin pump. She's had it since she's 11 years of age. And so since she's in her early 30s, she probably has 20 plus years of experience of contending with it. But to make a long story short, she followed a recommendation that I gave her. And she said, I went all in, full steam ahead. She said it was rough for 3 days. Or maybe she said it was brutal for 3 days. But she says, my blood sugar's gone from like 235 to 105. And she said, this is the best that I've ever felt and the most energy. I'm going, I wonder if I can believe what she's saying. Should I believe her? Is that or is she lying to me? Well, I never think that. Why would she lie about that? A lady that I saw the previous Friday called, this is a different lady. I asked her to make some recommendations, and she was telling me that one of the drugs for diabetes was going to cost her $700 a month. And she had just reached her limit. She said, I'm sick of this. I don't want to have diabetes anymore. What do I do? And she told me, my fasting blood sugar is like 254. And if I get the numbers wrong by a point or two, that doesn't matter. Anyway, she called me on the phone, she wanted me to answer a question for her. So I called her back. It was probably 2 hours later, but I called her back. You know, I always call people back. Sometimes not in a timely manner, because I know people don't realize this, but sometimes there's a lot of people just like you that have the same idea, and they think it's really important to have their questions answered too, but I'm trying. That would be one consistent criticism that I get from some people, is I don't call them back fast enough, because if I'm with somebody, well, then I need to focus my attention on them, and I'd answer every phone call that comes along, but I get to about 8 to 10 phone calls a day where I pick it up and say, hello, this is Dr. Morgan. Anyway. But this lady that had blood sugar problems, she called and she said, is it possible to heal the body? I'm going, yes, you're in the right place. That's all I want to focus on doing. How can we reverse this? And so I gave her some dietary recommendations, and lo and behold, she said, I want it. I am going to do this. I said, okay, we're going to find out. She said her blood sugar is dropping every morning. This is just like 6-7 days into it, I guess. But her blood sugar's dropped to like 150 in just like 6 days. That's going from an average of 250. I'm going, how do you feel? She said, I feel great. So is that truth? Is a diabetic telling me the truth? Okay. Let me read this study to you. And it's referenced in the book, How Not to Die by Dr. Michael Greger. He's a medical doctor. He's a founder of NutritionalFacts.org. Now that is, to me, that's very interesting that would be what he's the founder of, NutritionalFacts.org. I think I could change it to SelectiveNutritionalFacts.org. Anyway, let me read it to you, and what I want to do is let me just propose it to you as a consideration. Please ponder it. Consider it. Put it to the test. See if it's true or not. But I want your feedback. Here's the study that he references. And it's on his chapter. It's on his chapter called How Not to Die from Diabetes. And that's on that's chapter 6 in the book. Which I think you heard me say not that long ago that The Centers of Disease Control has determined that the disease that costs the most money in America is diabetes. And of course, I've kind of piled on by saying, yeah, but that's your gateway to cancer and heart disease and strokes and Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and dementia and everything else you don't want. Here's a study. I'll be quiet and just read it to you. A classic study conducted back in 1927 by Dr. Shirley Sweeney clearly told us which aspects of the diet cause diabetes. But the underlying mechanisms wasn't discovered until later. What Sweeney did was he took, see, a man can be named Shirley. I don't think of that, but it was a man, Shirley. What Sweeney did was he took four groups of college students and fed them different diets, and then he measured their fasting blood sugar. Now, I've got to be honest with you folks. I could not find the original study, so I'm just reading what Dr. Grieger is espousing as great accuracy. So let's just take it as such. Okay, group number one. They were put on a high-carbohydrate diet consisting of, and just get this, all right, group one. Their diet consisted of sugar, candy, syrup, baked potatoes, oatmeal, white bread and pasta. All right, that's the diet right there. Got it? Just hold your judgment, okay? Group two. They were put on a high-protein diet consisting of lean meat, lean fish, and egg whites. Group three. They were put on a high-fat diet consisting of olive oil, butter, mayonnaise, and egg yolks. Group four, they were put on a fasting diet or temporary starvation. Of course, I have a lot of questions about that, but I don't know that I can get them answered right now. Sweeney tested the blood sugar of each of the groups and found that all of the groups were diabetic except for the high carbohydrate group. Did you get that? People on the high-protein diet, however, were somewhat less diabetic than the students in the high-fat group, in which some were considered severely diabetic. Ay, ay, ay. I might be wasting your time by reading this. I almost feel like I am. Maybe I'm not. He took one student from group one, and did you realize that the group one was going to be a high-carbohydrate diet consisting of sugar, candy, syrup, baked potatoes, oatmeal, white bread, and pasta? Okay. He took one student from group one, and he switched over to group three and found that he quickly went from being non-diabetic to diabetic. That's a high-fat diet. That's the olive oil, butter, mayonnaise, and egg yolks. Okay. Dr. Walter Kempner of Duke University realized the importance of this classic study, which inspired him to create the rice diet, which was composed of rice, fruit, and sucrose. If you don't know what sucrose is, that's called common table sugar, sugarcane sugar. He created this diet in order to save people who had severe diabetes and suffering all the complications of diabetes like kidney failure, retinopathy, atherosclerosis. That's a fancy word, but that refers to gunk building up in your arteries, hypertension, obesity. These people were extremely sick and diabetic. Their bodies were falling apart at an accelerated rate due to a lack of insulin. Kemper knew this, and he figured these people need to be on an extremely high-carb, fat-free diet, the kind of diet that Sweeney used in his classic study. So he gave them fruit and rice, in which he puts in parentheses, and I give him a little credit for it. He says in parenthesis, which they do contain trace amounts of fats, along with sugar. What he found was, and what was reported back in the scientific literature in the 1950s, was that diabetes and all the diseases that stem from insulin resistance were completely reversed with a rice diet. Now, what I want to do is I want to stop there. And since you're just listening, of course, probably you've passed out from brain freeze, but anyway, how many times have you been to the doctor and you're a diabetic and the doctor says, I need to put you on more sugar and I want to give you rice, and you're thinking to yourself, don't rice convert, doesn't that convert into sugar, Dr. Morgan? Yeah, you're right, it does. So your doctor's probably already recommended the rice diet to you, which is lots of fruit, lots of syrup, lots of sugar, and lots of rice, because he wanted to save people. Okay. It doesn't say the results of it, and I haven't looked that up, so that's on me. Another important study conducted in 1971 by Dr. Brunzel et al., he took people that were insulin resistant, and he had them on a diet that was 45% sucrose. And then he put them on a diet that was 85% sucrose. What they found was that all the aspects of the insulin resistance got better. Insulin sensitivity got better. Fasting blood sugar got better. Fasting insulin, etc. But they don't really go on to explain that either. But anyway, studies from the Pritikin Longevity Center, which uses a very low-fat diet based on beans, grains, vegetables, fruit with lean protein in small amounts, combined with daily exercise, has also been shown numerous times to completely reverse diabetes and a metabolic syndrome. The Pritikin diet is 75% carbohydrates, 15% protein, and 10% fat, which is a diet very similar to Sweeney's. Now, this is where I'm interjecting. It doesn't tell you that Mr. Pritikin died very early because of his horrible diet. I know. That's judgmental on my part to say it's horrible. But, I mean, if you stake your reputation... Anyway, let me go on here. Sweeney's experiment was considered a huge paradox. Why would consuming sugar lower than the levels of blood sugar in the body... I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Why would consuming sugar lower the levels of blood sugar in the body? And how could eating fat cause such a huge rise in blood sugar? The epidemiological data also seemed to support this strange paradox, such as immigrants from the Oriental countries who get the majority of their calories from white rice. They're normally free from diabetes. Yet when migrating to the USA or to Europe, they quickly develop diabetes once they consume less rice and more animal protein and total fats and oils. Okay, I think that's a good proposition. I don't know if it's true or not. But with the primary study conducted by Sweeney, followed by epidemiological observations, the use of the rice diet to cure metabolic syndrome by Kemper, and clinical studies conducted by the Pritikin Longevity Center, all seem to indicate that carbohydrates make diabetes better, not worse, which is what we commonly hear today. See there, folks, you should be eating more Rice Krispies and Rice Krispie treats. Do they make any candy bars that have, oh, that's right. They have one called a whatchamacallit. Doesn't that have rice in it? Brunzel even stated that his research paper, this data suggests that high carbohydrate diet increases sensitivity to peripheral tissues to insulin. So, the explanation of this paradox lies in the metabolic control of gluconeogenesis, which is your body's way of making glucose. When it is needed by the body. Now get this right here. I just think it's ludicrous. The brain and the red blood cells must have glucose to function properly. Well, that is not even correct. Why did God design mother's breast milk to be higher in fat than protein or carbohydrates? Did he make a colossal design flaw? Was that a huge, major error that he designed? Did he not know what he was doing? Of course not. I seriously doubt anyone that would listen to this radio station or this program would say, oh yes, God needed Dr. Swinney to design a diet based on lots of glucose and fructose and sucrose. And I just, oh my goodness, okay. The explanation of this paradox lies in the metabolic control of gluconeogenesis, which is your body's way of making glucose, when it is needed by the body. The brain and the red blood cells must have glucose to function properly. When you restrict glucose from the diet, which is like what happened in groups 2, 3, and 4 of the Swinney testing, the body will actually begin to undergo gluconeogenesis in order to make more glucose for the brain and the red blood cells. It does this by converting branched-chain amino acids into glucose. There is a feedback mechanism in the body that closely monitors glucose metabolism. If you eat lots of glucose, the body doesn't need to synthesize any more glucose. I know it's not going to do any good for me to bang my head against the microphone. Of course, the microphone is pretty soft and cushy. It wouldn't really hurt. The release of glucose into the circulation is what caused elevated blood sugars in groups 2, 3, and 4. Insulin is the main regulator of gluconeogenesis. When insulin is secreted, you know what? I can't do it anymore. I can't even finish the study. It is driving me crazy. All right. There are several ways that we can learn. Would you say that's correct? All right. If you don't know this, I'll tell you again. My father was a drug salesman, or he was a detail man. For 25 years, he worked for Abbott Laboratories. When I was a boy growing up, I think we had a Rexall pharmacy or something like that. So I sort of have some acquaintance with the drug sales industry. You could call me right now and say, Dr. Morgan, you're extremely biased. Yes, that's true. I don't deny that. I am completely biased toward natural therapies and natural cures and natural supplements and natural dietary regimens that tend to promote healing. See there? I'm out in the open. I'm admitting it. I have a major problem with that. I'm also very biased against drugs that totally destroy the body. You know, there's endless amounts of drugs that can be used and prescribed by physicians. But how many of them actually promote healing and repair and vitality? Just about none. I've been doing this for 30 years, folks, give or take. And I have yet to have somebody come into my office and say, Dr. Morgan, you just don't even know. Once the doctor put me on blood thinners called warfarin or Coumadin, that's when my fortunes changed for the better. Let me explain to you, Dr. Morgan. That's when my life became brand new again and fresh. I wiped the slate clean. I have more energy than I've ever had before, thanks to Coumadin. That has never happened, folks. Or if somebody walks in the door and says to me, Dr. Morgan, since I was put on massive doses of Crestor, Vitor, and Lipitor, Zocor, that's when I really felt like I was alive. Now I can live the life of my... That has never happened. No one ever says that. Ever. Sometimes with hormones, you'll get a response similar to that, like, and I'm being fair here. I think I am. If a woman has a horribly sluggish, poor-functioning thyroid, and a doctor recommends some thyroid, yeah, in about 8 to 10 hours, they can say, oh my goodness, it's like somebody flipped on the switch. What I would probably spend my time doing is saying, what were the factors that allowed your thyroid to become in bad working order, and what can we do to correct that? Anyway, so I'm pretty familiar with the concept that drug salesman can approach a doctor and say, this drug is excellent. You should prescribe it to all your patients. Okay, I get that. But you know what? The world has completely changed. I think it's true that over the last 30 years, if we go back to 1985, there were a whole lot of drug salesmen out there going to the doctor's offices, buying the entire staff lunch, giving them gifts and presents, schmoozing them, buying loyalty. I mean, excuse me, I didn't say that. Anyway, buying influence. No, I didn't say that either. But those days are over now. There are fewer drug salespeople than probably ever before because now they have television. There are commercials on TV and they're not even trying to use drug salesmen anymore. No, they're going straight to you. They have these very slick, well-done ads. And of course, all the people in there, they're smiling and laughing and dancing, you know, and skipping with bunny rabbits through fields of, purple clover. I should say red clover, because that's pretty awesome stuff. No, they directly target you now. But what I'm going to say is that just because they have a study on TV, does that make that true? Or when huge amounts of money is involved to stockholders and shareholders, and money is to be made... Really? Last night I received a email from a news service saying a new drug is about to be released here in the U.S. and the price is $85,000 a month for this drug. And they're saying it costs it's 10 times less expensive if you get it in any other country but the U.S. So is really? Why, if it's produced here in the U.S., why would it cost 10 times as much to be released here anyway? You could say, but Dr. Morgan, there's scientific studies. Well, I think it's okay if you and I just question within our hearts, is that actually true? You remember that scripture found in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, and the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, but they studied the scripture daily to see if what Paul and Silas was saying was true. I kind of remind myself of that frequently, because if they were considered more noble because they questioned, but what they did was they used the truth, which is the word of God, to see if what the apostle Paul was saying was actually true. You know, I'm thinking that if Paul was telling the truth, he had nothing to fear. Anyway, I'm just cutting to the chase here. You know, there's one source of truth that I say it would be accurate. Would that be personal testimony? No, not real accurate, because when money's involved, people tend to embellish and lay it on just a little bit thick there about how wonderful the next multi-level marketing, you know, supplement is, or anyway. But there's something that I think that I try to do over and over again. It's called pattern recognition. So if a person's telling me they have struggled horribly for 20 years with their diabetes and they're eating this rice diet, you know, where they have sugar and candy and pastries and white bread and white potatoes and syrup and bananas and rice and oatmeal and Lego Mayo waffles and bowls of cereal and, you know, plenty of carbs, I have one time to see that workout. I haven't. Everything that I just read to you from these medical studies, I have never recognized that is the truth, ever. Now let me ask you a question. Why would an individual lie to me and tell me that their blood sugar has gone from 254 to 150 in 5 days? Why would they? I can't think of any reason why. Are they trying to deceive me? Why would they lie to me and tell me they feel so much better and they're making massive improvements day by day? Anyway, every so often I come across information that I think is just completely ridiculous, and this is just about as close as I can get. Anyway, I didn't realize this, but it says Dr. Michael Greger presents the groundbreaking science on how a simple plant-based food choices help us live healthier. Anyway, I know what he thinks. He thinks that if you eat meat or you eat fat, you're an evil, bad person. It says that Dr. Grieger also proudly serves as the Director of Public Health and Animal Agriculture at the Humane Society of the United States. I don't know if that makes a person biased at all. No, not at all. Anyway, if you want to join me on the radio this morning, let me quit rambling and just take you right in. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Hey, somebody jumped right on it. Here we go. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I just wanted to get your ideas about all this stuff that's being touted with Garcinia and apple cider vinegar.
Well, how so?
Well, my mom came across this. I don't know where or how she came across it, but, you order this apple cider vinegar. You order this Garcinia, and you take it with apple cider vinegar tea like 30 minutes before you eat a couple of times a day, and it's supposed to help you lose weight.
Well, have you tried it?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I think that some good organic apple cider vinegar is just fine for your body, but I'm just not sure about buying these supplements. I think that these people are out to get your money instead, you know?
Do you think that maybe you're just a little bit cynical? They would never do that. People don't advertise to get your money. I'm joking, sorry.
That's okay.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you have something in your mind or your heart that you would really like to accomplish by doing some of these things? What would you like to see happen?
Well, to be honest, I'm going to tell you, my mom has a lot of health problems.
What would be the top three health problems she has?
Adrenal insufficiency caused by the pituitary, not the adrenal glands. She has COPD. Mm-hmm. And she has stenosis, like in her lower limbs.
So she's got at least three issues that make it very difficult for her to feel great and function at a high level.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What else can you tell me about her?
She has COPD. She, but she loves to be active. She's either really active or she's down and out.
It sounds like you have a vicious beast about to rip your ankles to shreds in the background. Is that true?
Oh, well.
How large is that beast? About 4 pounds?
Maybe six.
Oh, man, you don't even know it, but I'm shaking in my boots right now, even though I'm reminding myself, okay, Roy, you're safe. I bet the teeth are sharp on that animal.
They kind of are. She's just a puppy.
Well, don't turn her loose on me, please. Oh, isn't that great? I just laugh every time I see puppies play. That just really entertains me.
Well, she's been around my mom's dog who barks every time my mom is on the phone. And this is actually the first time that I've been on the phone since she was around that dog.
See, if I can, let me be my radical self right here, and you decide if it's radical or not. Okay. The pituitary, sometimes it's likened to a conductor of an orchestra. I kind of like that analogy. But your pituitary is the gland that precisely releases hormones to direct the adrenal glands to work properly. But right. I'm gonna suggest to you that the pituitary is not an island unto itself. But did your mother actually have something like a pituitary tumor where she had it removed?
No.
Well, then why did you say pituitary then?
Because they determined that it was not. They did testing on her and determined that it was
underperforming.
That she had been under so much stress for so many years that it wasn't performing the way that it needed to anymore.
Man, you know what I would do? Now this is just me. I'm not telling you what to do, but I am a firm believer that sometimes all you have to do for the pituitary is just feed it. And if you feed it what it needs, all of a sudden it can bounce back. It can go from being abysmally sluggish to just a vibrant functioning gland. It can just start beating on all eight cylinders instead of just running on one cylinder. But I'm a firm believer in the use of what are called proto-morphogen glandulars. And see, it's called the HP axis, but that stands for the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis. And they all communicate together. And I know this is kind of a radical idea, but I always think the microbes that live in a person's gut, when the gut is real happy, meaning the digestive tract, all of a sudden the pituitary and the hypothalamus and the adrenals function a lot better. That would probably build a case for consuming fermented foods like sauerkraut every day or pickles.
Which would explain why when she came to my house and I had a big jar of pickles, she literally sat there and ate every pickle. I mean, I came in after one day being gone at work and every pickle in that huge jar was gone.
But was her hand stuck in the jar like a raccoon's hand, maybe? Not exactly. Did she smell like pickle juice? But see, sometimes people intuitively know what they should go for. But it contains all those minerals that are good for the body. But protomorphogens is, in my mind, one of the greatest techniques of all time for trying to bring the pituitary and the hypothalamus and the adrenals back to life.
Okay.
But she's got a little bit of a glitch here because she's got stenosis, which means she's got like a narrowing somewhere around the spinal column or the nerves, so it doesn't take much for her to reach her limit with activity, does it?
No, it really doesn't. I mean, she's adapted a deal, like when she's working around her house, working like for 15 minutes and then stopping to rest. And then working for 15 more minutes and then stopping to rest.
Well, the one type of dietary stress that I try to take off people is a high sugar diet, because that's the easiest way to get the adrenals to come back to life along with the pituitary and the hypothalamus. And I think there's several ways to accomplish that. Number one, I'm going completely against Dr. Michael Greger's recommendations that I read to you this morning. I'm recommending intermittent fasting. And the way to accomplish that, if you're trying to clean out all the garbage and the debris of the body, if you intermittently fast, you accomplish that. I think it's been proven, not just my opinion, but in the real world, I see it every single day. If somebody doesn't eat constantly all day long, if they can fast for about 12 to 18 hours a day, so if your mother's last meal of the day was at 6 o'clock in the evening, and she didn't eat again until 10 o'clock in the morning, that'd be a 16-hour fast. But when you fast, that's when your body switches gears from processing food and assimilating. It goes more into the detox mode. That's what she needs right now. And what it does is it removes all that toxic cellular debris from your body. And to me, that's kind of an important principle, because if you don't do that, then you can start focusing on what supplements should I take, how should I do this, and not really get great results. But this intermittent fasting, if it's done every day, I'm not asking if you want to do it, because most people say, no, I want to follow Dr. Greger's protocol. I want to have Snickers and pancakes for breakfast.
Well, to be honest, this is some of the, because she has problems with GERD and stuff like that.
Well, this would take care of all that.
She tends to not eat very late, and she usually sleeps until 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, so...
That'd be even easier for her. So it's just going to be a question of what is she eating. And that's one of the reasons why... You know, I can confess this to you and say it. This is not self-deprecating. I'm just telling you the way it is in the real world. Sometimes we think we know what we're doing until we receive new information and we realize, you know what? I haven't been as precise as I should. But that's what learning is all about. Sometimes we learn lessons the hard way. But there's a type of diet called a ketogenic diet. And what you're doing is you're giving her spinal cord what it wants. It wants to consume fat. You're making it easy on our lungs to repair themselves. I don't even know how many cases of COPD that I've personally seen where they had it, but now they no longer have it, meaning they're free of it. I don't even know how many cases I've seen where people had severe chronic infections for years, only to have them to completely disappear within 2 to 3 weeks. See it all the time. But it's just a different concept. You're trying to feed the body different fuel to help get rid of all the inflammation. So if your mama has GERD, then there is a consistent source of irritation or inflammation within her body, and we want to remove that. So I'll just present that to you as an idea. It's called a ketogenic diet. I'll let you do with it what you will. But as for me, yeah, good. Good job. I'm impressed with you.
I've written down a bunch of this.
Well, there's a lot of things that I just can't tell you about COPD because it would just make your head spin. You'd say, what? Anyway, but at the very least, if you'll play with those two or three ideas right there, oh, man, we'll see a difference in your mama.
Okay.
Man, am I a fan of walking barefoot and cold water therapy on the legs when it comes to any occlusions or stenosis anywhere in the body. Talk about a stimulant for repair of the nervous system that's free.
Oh, she's a real fan of walking barefoot.
Was that your mother I heard in the background just then?
That's the puppy.
Oh, sorry. I was a little confused there.
No, my mom doesn't live with me. I can get her to stay with me for sometimes a few days, sometimes a few weeks. Holidays, I can usually keep her for a month or so, you know. But then
let me guess, she's a little strong-willed.
Very. That's okay, I am too. So.
Yeah, I could tell. I'm just teasing you. Well, you know what? It can be a very good character quality to be strong-willed, because what you can do is you can draw a line in the sand saying, nope. I have made up my mind. I am determined to do this. I'm going to be a good steward of this temple of the Holy Spirit. Or you could say, no, I'm not doing that. That is against all my beliefs. I will not do that. I keep reminding myself, since I might actually have a child that's strong-willed, but, you know, since they're not listening, I can talk about them, right?
Even if they were, they might get some ideas and just not let you know they got it.
Yeah, exactly. But I would seriously look into those ideas that I've just discussed with you, and let me know if you have very good results, and I pray that your mother will be greatly blessed. Have you ever read the story of Nehemiah?
Oh, sir, I'm a student of the Bible.
Well, I just love the very last verse in chapter 2. And it says that he had success because God's hand was with him. And that's what I want for you. I want God's hand to be with you in this. But yeah. But I thank you very much for your phone call. Have fun with your new puppy.
Oh, thank you.
I'm thinking if it's a puppy, it's brand new.
Well, she's actually about 3 months old, but my mom just brought her to me because... She didn't get her until after she got back home after Christmas. And it took a few weeks for us to get to where we could work to get back together. And she brought her up here to me, so she's getting used to me.
I bet she is. She probably loves it. Well, thank you. You have a good day, ma'am.
Thank you. You're
welcome. Thanks. Bye. All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open, 903-586-5257. You can just get right in. I'll push the button, and you'll go right on the air with me, and you can ask me whatever questions you want. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Yes, Dr. Morgan.
Yes, sir. Thanks for calling.
You bet. Check your show.
I didn't catch that. You kind of bleeped out. Sorry.
I'm sorry, you cut out. My question is, do you have any particular nutritional websites that you respect?
Well, over the years, I tend to go to the WestonAPrice.org website.
Okay.
And I would say a lot of what they say I consider very accurate truth.
All right.
And actually, one of the ladies that I know of personally that likes that, she brought me some radical propaganda this week concerning a restaurant in Palestine.
Okay.
I was a little bit shocked, but she brought me one of their menus. You know what the appetizer was?
No.
They were serving bone marrow. When's the last time you've been to a restaurant where they've served bone marrow?
Never.
And I think they said they use like a marmalade onion on top of it. I would eat it in a heartbeat. Nothing says I love you on Valentine's Day than rubbing your lips on onion marmalade with bone marrow. You can't tell me that your wife wouldn't dig that, right?
I don't know.
Well, we're just going to have to find it. Anyway, but yeah, they're definitely... The WestonAPrice.org, that is for your consideration. So, but you got to understand it's going to be completely 180 degrees from what the health experts tell us, because they're recommending real foods that God has made.
Well, you know, the big websites, WebMD and stuff like that, I don't trust. I know the big websites.
But they do occasionally have good information, right?
But it's... how much of it is accurate versus how much can you, you know, should you discard?
Are you suggesting to me that they have an agenda to promote, traditional treatment plans?
It seems like it.
Did I hear your wife in the background?
No, I'm single.
Oh, rats. I thought I heard a woman in the background saying, mm-hmm. Anyway. But, yeah, that would be one that you might look at. That's just an easy one to go to. And they have a... search engine on there, and you could type in almost anything that you want and just see what you come up with.
Okay.
And so that could be a good resource.
And I'm also diabetic. Would this be a good website for diabetic information as well?
Yeah. Take a look at it, see what you can find out.
I'll definitely do that.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Yes.
Is it type 1 or type 2?
Type 2.
Type 2. How would you like to get rid of that totally?
I would.
Okay. Your wishes granted. I just snapped my fingers. It's done. So, but you have to, doesn't it say in the Bible that without knowledge, people perish?
Yes.
And doesn't it say in the Bible that wisdom was the first of God's creations?
I don't know that.
I think it says that in Proverbs. That's what, if Jimmy told me that, it's got to be true, because Jimmy would not lie. Yeah, but it does say that wisdom was the first of his creations. And anyway, but to make a long story short, so what you're trying to do is you're trying to separate out, okay, what is the truth here? And can I give you just a small tidbit of where I'm going with this?
Sure.
Okay. This wasn't that long ago. I'm going to say August of 2016, so that's not even, I don't know, can I just say 6 or 7 months ago? 6 months ago? Anyway, here goes. They did a study, and the title of the study was "Which Diet Is Best for Reversing Diabetes." So you can see how that kind of caught my attention.
Okay.
And so I don't even remember all of them, but one of them was the American Heart Association diet for diabetes. One of them was the American Diabetes Association. One was like a dietitian's diabetic diet, and I think there were six others. But they had all these people enrolled in these diets, and they're trying to figure out, okay, well, you know, this is where the rubber meets the road. What is really going to work here? So I kind of appreciate a study like that. All the diets that doctors recommended were abysmal failures.
Okay.
Abysmal. But there was one dietary therapy that was included, even though it wasn't a doctor-recommended diet. You want to hear what it was?
Oh, yes.
It was a complete rejection of all the diets by a certain select group of people. They all self-selected. They chose for themselves what they were going to do. And this is what they came up with. They said, you know what? We're not doing this. I don't like it. I don't think it's healing my body, so I'm going to go on a limb and do my own. But this is what people came to the conclusion all by themselves. No one told them to do this. They just figured it out, which I think is brilliant. But they decided they were only going to eat two meals a day. And so in this study was, they said, okay, you're not going to participate in our study. Do what you want. Let's see what happens. They said, okay. We have decided we're going to do one of two things. Either you call it a late breakfast or a brunch or an early lunch. Or an early supper. But what they did was they only ate two meals a day in this last group. And the two meals a day were usually lunch or a late breakfast or brunch around 11 a.m. or 11:30. And then they would eat an early supper. And that could have been 4:30 or 5 o'clock, something like that. I mean, does that sound real complicated?
No.
And what they were eating were, they were eating meat and vegetables. And I don't remember every single, dietary analysis. But it beat all the other medically supervised and medically recommended therapies, hands down. It was the only one that reversed diabetes. And so eating two meals a day, but then again, do you know what happens if you eat your last meal at 5 o'clock? From 5 o'clock in the evening till 5 o'clock in the morning, as in a.m., that's 12 hours, right?
Right.
And the good news is, if you sleep during most of that, or most of that 12 hours of sleep, you don't even think about eating when you're asleep, do you?
No.
You hesitate. Does that mean you do fantasize about turkey and dressing at 2 in the morning?
I sort of envision myself eating 24 hours a day is my problem.
Well, and that, this is why this is going to work for you, because insulin levels are too high and you have insulin resistance, which means you're going to have terrible cravings. But if you can get, all you're trying to really do is, if you can get your body to adapt over to converting fat into energy for fuel, see what Dr. Greger says, that your brain needs, no, it doesn't. Your body can completely adapt to converting fat into energy, which all I'm trying to say is fat burns very clean. It doesn't give off a lot of dirt, but sugar gives off a whole boatload of free radicals and oxidants. It just burns dirty. I'm not saying never eat sugar. That's not what I'm saying. I think life is enjoyable if you have a little bit of sugar every so often. Do you agree?
Oh, yes.
But in this dietary regimen from 5 in the morning, that's 12 hours, if you go to 11 a.m., let me see, that's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. That's an 18-hour fast, buddy. That's 18 hours where you're not consuming any fuel. Yes, it's very hard at first when you have insulin resistance and diabetes. But like the woman told me this week, she said it was brutal for 3 days, and this is the best I've ever felt. But she also told me her fasting blood sugar has gone from 230s down to 105. Now, what do you think about that? Is that just like something that she made up to impress me? Or do you think that maybe that she's right?
I don't know, but it's
well, I do know, because what I have is I have pattern recognition. And pattern, you see, you didn't know how smart I was, did you? Here's how smart I am. Ma'am, tell me one more time, what did you do? And she goes, well, I did this, this, and this. And I'm going, interesting. No, all I'm doing is I'm making an observation. And yes, I'm choosing without any thought or effort on my part. I just believe whatever everybody tells me. So if they tell me they've gone from 100 units of insulin a day down to 7 in about 2 weeks, I'm going to go, I'm choosing to believe that, because otherwise they could be dead or they could have other health problems.
Right.
But I see this over and over and over again. So I would say for me, it's very, very accurate truth to see pattern recognition, meaning you see the same results over and over and over again. Do you really think that I'm going to improve you by recommending Snickers and high rice and potatoes and corn?
I don't think so, but my taste buds would still like the flavor.
Of course they would, but your taste buds will change where you don't even crave it anymore. That's what everybody tells me. I know that's hard to believe. By the way, do you know anything about cows?
Very little.
Well, what would you do to a cow if you wanted to really fatten them up right before you took them to the meat processor? Would you give them broccoli, or would you give them corn?
Probably a lot of corn.
You got it. So in that type of dietary regimen, that does not reverse diabetes. Anyway, so, and that's where maybe the idea of a ketogenic diet might come in handy.
Okay.
And I tell you what, I think the prize is very high. Do you understand what it means in Jeremiah chapter 1 when the Lord says to Jeremiah, Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Do you understand all that? Because I do not.
No, I'm not close.
I'm even less close than you are, because that's just too deep and too wonderful for me. But I can tell you what I believe. I believe that God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And I've got to believe that he had a tremendous plan for you. And it's your destiny to fulfill that as much as possible. And if you don't have to suffer with diabetes, you can be even more radiant and more healthy and do everything that God has in store for you. Did you see there? Did you see how biased I am against diabetics? Totally against them. I want to heal every one of them. But it'll happen if they're willing.
Well, I appreciate the information you pass on each week. And I encourage you every now and then to mention some of the sources you recommend, because I'm listening close almost every weekend.
Okay.
And this is the first time I've heard of this particular website, and I'm definitely going to check it out.
Yeah, no, I apologize. I don't even know how many times I've read articles from it where I've mentioned it, but evidently I haven't done a good enough job, so I appreciate your comment, and I'll try to do a better job. I really try every time I read an article to tell you where the source of it is.
Okay.
So, Sally Fallon is the lady that heads that up.
Okay.
And she's written a book called, see there, it just disappeared from my brain. See, you're not the only one, it's me too. It's called, it's right there in the, it's in my kitchen right now. Sorry, but anyway, if you look
at it sometime on your show.
Yes, I've only mentioned it about 200 times. So, but if you will, just look up the Weston A. Price. Another one that's a very good one is called Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. That's a book written by Dr. Weston A. Price. It was written back in the 20s. And you're probably going to say, what would a book 90 years old be valued? Why would that be? Anyway, very, very interesting. He looks, and he's just taking an observational approach. He looks at all these cultures, and he sees what produces great health, which, anyway, that book that I was reading from this morning is called How Not to Die. It's got a lot of good information in it, but as far as reversing diabetes, heart disease, no, but it ain't going to do that. I mean, almost everything in here is just like, that's not true. Anyway, so I give you complete permission to find out what's true and what's not true. And you can put it all to the test. So, obviously, what restores you to your tremendous functioning vitality? I mean, you're an old man, aren't you?
Trying to be.
Yes. God made you for great accomplishments. You were designed for hard manual labor. Or lots of manual labor and mental labor.
Okay.
Anyway, put it to the test and see what happens, okay?
All right. Appreciate you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for your kindness.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. There's time for a pro... Oh, dear. Let me see right here. No, I don't even have time. Rat. Sorry. I know I didn't take a lot of phone calls today. Please forgive me. And, yes, I will try to do a better job, and I'll try to mention more of the books that I'm reading. You know, I can say this. I have probably failed miserably getting people to read books to improve their health. See, in my mind, I think if they just get the information, they're going to chew on it and ponder it, and they're going to let it roll around their head, and it's going to become theirs because they're going to master it, and they're going to go through that learning curve. But in this world, that's just not the way it is. People will spend energy on Facebook, and they will text their friends, and they'll watch videos all day long, or maybe they'll play video games or watch television. But as far as something that, you know, requires effort to learn, yes, I'm the master of learning the hard way, but I like this stuff, though. I like work. It's been a pleasure being with you today. You're listening to KBGS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, Longview.